Hey, everybody out there. Welcome to the StashMyComics.com podcast. You're listening to episode 8, and I'm your host, Matt B., and with me is Steven Sparks.
What is up, nerd world?
And we're here to talk about some comics, because we like comics, and we hope you do, too.
Oh, I love them.
And if you don't, you're probably listening to the wrong podcast. So, as we always do on this show, we don't beat around the bush. We don't waste a lot of time. We go right into the news.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a new alternate Spider-Man cartoon.
Well, it's definitely the right move for them.
Update number 8 was released. Broke the record for highest selling comic book of all time. Top secret classified documents.
And I am going to talk about what's known as the Summer of Valiant. This comes courtesy of comicbookresources.com, and I'm going to quote part of their article here. Continuing its week of Summer of Valiant teasers, Valiant Entertainment revealed a new image of Bloodshot. With the accompanying text, every mission is a suicide mission. Bloodshot number 1 will hit in July, following the release of Exo Manowar in May and Harbinger 1 in June. So basically, Valiant has been very good at their sort of guerrilla marketing campaign, and it's quite the talk on Twitter and around the message boards. But Bloodshot just got picked up by, what was it, Sony Pictures?
Yeah, I do believe so.
They nabbed the rights to Bloodshot, and so of course Valiant had to follow up with, whether they were planning to or not, you have to follow up with that becoming one of your main titles. And the fourth title is not yet known, but most people are thinking it's Shadow Man.
Well, right now I am on the Valiant site, and as of today, today is the 8th, I want to say. Yes, yep. It is. They just released Archer and Armstrong number 1, and this is a countdown to the Summer of Valiant, day 3.
Ah, so I guess so, that's the one.
Yes, and
Did that involve, they released sort of a cryptic looking image, and it was a guy with kind of like a skeleton mask, and that's why everybody was thinking it kind of looked like Shadow Man. Did that have anything to do with, do you see that anywhere with Archer and Armstrong?
No, it's actually on the ValiantUniverse.com page on the news section.
Okay.
And yeah, pretty much it's just like, looks like a hobo. I'm not familiar with Archer and Armstrong at all, but you know, obviously there's an Archer, and then there's, I'm going to figure that's Armstrong with the bottle of booze in his hand. So,
an archer and a drunk guy.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Not familiar with this, you know, pretty just Exo Manowar. I was the only familiar stuff I had with Valiant.
Yeah, I too am pretty new to the Valiant world. I've got a couple Shadow Man issues, a couple Harbinger issues, a few Exo Manowar, and Dr. Mirage, I think, is the other one I've got. But
yeah, I think, you know, like we've probably talked about before, when Valiant comes to my mind and goes, hey, when someone asks me, hey, what do you know about Valiant? I go, Bloodshot and Exo Manowar.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
And if you delve back into the back issues and the history, you're not going to be overly impressed. I mean, like I said, I think the stories are solid, but, you know, the art was okay. It was 90s art. You know.
Yeah, you know, and with all these covers that are coming out, you know, I looked at them all really good last night. I like the Harbinger one, I like the Bloodshot one, and, you know, I'm sort of digging this Archer and Armstrong one. Gives me that Walking Dead feel type art, Robert Kirkman style, and I really like that. But the only one that was really weak to me was the Exo Manowar cover.
Okay.
So,
I've seen some of the interior pages, and the art is definitely light years ahead of what they used to do. So,
yeah.
And everybody's oohing and eyeing over it. And what it makes them look like is not some tiny independent company, but some, you know, a big player right up there with Image and Boom and Dynamite, I would say.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that does the Valiant talk. I believe. Oh, we did want to mention that really creepy but cool Exo Manowar. What was it called?
The Talking Poster.
Talking Poster, yes.
Yes, very cool.
You take your smartphone, you take your iTouch, and you scan the QR code. This is a really good example of how to use the QR code. And you scan the little code, and then you get his mouth. And when you hold it up to the poster, he says some really creepy things.
Yeah, so if any of you guys want to check that out, that's at valiantuniverse.com/news. And then scroll down about halfway down the page, and they got a nice little YouTube video about it. And like Matt says, it is awesome and creepy.
Yep. And they've been going crazy on Twitter. In fact, were you on that day that somebody from Stash My Comics won the 5,000th follower?
No.
I think it was Tim Morris.
Really?
If I'm mistaken, forgive me, whoever it was, but they were saying that if we get to 5,000 followers, we're going to give somebody something, and I tweeted it real quick, and then the next thing you know, they're like, congratulations to so-and-so, and so one of our own should be getting a nice package. He hasn't gotten it yet, I guess.
Oh, man.
But I want to know.
Whoever it was, let us know.
Yeah. And you can send us some stuff. If Valiant gives you more stuff.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's drop the Valiant talk and go into your news item, Steven.
All right. I wanted to bring up Shazam's new outfit. I don't know if anybody has seen this yet, but it is pretty cool looking, and I'm digging it a lot. I'll describe it for you. It's pretty much the same outfit he had before, but they've given him, instead of just the white cape he's always had, it's now a, like, hood. And he's got, you know, the white hood with the gold trim going all around, and it's all over his face. And it looks like they did a color change with the gold aspect and made it silver. So, like, his Thunderbolt, in the picture I'm looking at, it's silver. And it's, like, just crazy, massive, magical energy just flowing all around him. And, yeah, you know, this is supposed to appear when they come out with Shazam. When is this going to appear? Justice League number 7, it's saying, is post-reboot debut later this month in Justice League 7.
Okay.
So,
yeah, he looks super cool. They've darkened him up a little bit. It almost looks like a mixture of him and Black Adam, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah, you know, Black Adam, you know, recently with just, you know, being in DC for about 2.5 years now, Black Adam has grown to me so much. I just love the character. He's just so evil. Yeah. So, and then he also gave Billy a new look, too. He's almost like Peter Parker-like in a way. A little bit older.
Hmm.
They gave him some glasses.
I figured you were going to go the other way with that they made him like into a goth kid or something.
Oh, no, no, no. Then we wouldn't even be covering this article. Come on. Oh. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I will definitely pick it up. And what's cool about it is they're not calling him Captain Marvel anymore. He has officially been renamed as Shazam.
Yeah, it makes so much more sense. The Captain Marvel thing just gets everybody all confused. Like, wait, Marvel?
Marvel
Comics?
Yeah, so.
What if Marvel had a guy named Captain DC? It'd be the same thing.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. It's good. Shazam, let's just. Easier. It's so much cooler, too.
I agree. Well, so moving on to the next topic, I'm bringing up a old news item because I think it's worth mentioning that there is going to be a new Avengers book, Avengers Assemble number 1, which comes out on, next week, March 14th. And I'm excited about this book because I don't read Avengers, and this seems like the perfect sort of jump on book, get hyped about the movie, because it's all the characters from the movie. And there's not a lot of baggage, I would imagine, with continuity and things like this. So I'm going to be picking that up and giving that a shot. I've got 2 and 3 already ordered from DCB Service, and I just have to go somewhere and pick up number 1 and start. You have any interest in Avengers besides the movie?
Well, I pick up some Avengers stuff here and there. You know, I'm not really crazy into it. But, you know, it's sort of cool that they're bringing Zodiac,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if it's going to be a person or if it's actually going to be a group. Do you know that detail?
I don't. I just have this little blurb from Marvel.com, and it's basically the first obstacle they encounter, the Incredible Hulk. And so it's a three-way fracas, I don't know who would use that word, between Hulk, Zodiac, and the military. So this is a Bendis-Bagley duo here, so it's bound to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be written and drawn probably really well. So, but, you know, I did a little research on the Zodiacs because I know the Zodiac was like, you know, Howling Commandos type thing with Nick Fury, I want to say. And then, you know, there were some androids later on. And then there was some more Zodiac stuff in Young Avengers, New Warriors earlier on a few years ago. So that's why I'm wondering if it's going to be a group thing or a single thing. Because there was also a character in the Ghost Rider, Midnight Suns arc called Zodiac, which possessed, like, you know, hundreds of killers inside of them. So I'm wondering where they're going to go with this villain or team, villain team.
Yeah, it's like I said, perfect jumping on point. If you don't know the Avengers that well, like myself, you don't have to worry about everything that's going on. You just read this, get excited for the movie, and hopefully it will remain an easy enough book to just jump into. All right, next news item. Last news item, Steven.
All right, we're going to go into some sad news here. Recently, let's see, the article was published a few days ago, but Ralph McQuarrie died, and he was pretty much the person who did all the original Star Wars work for George Lucas when he was pitching the idea. Back when Star Wars was coming out. He died of Parkinson's disease at the age of 82. He was an illustrator, filmmaker, and a fan. A little background on him. He fought in the Korean War. He also worked for Boeing. Let's see. And pretty much I think Star Wars would have not have made it if it was not for him and his work. So even George Lucas even admitted that if he didn't have his work, Star Wars would have not been a movie.
Yeah.
Some of his notable things he did was he was the creator of Vader's mask, the Stormtroopers, and our two favorite droids, C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm looking at some of the concept art here before it was fleshed out. And, you know, and some of this I even like better than what eventually appeared in the film.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure some comic book artists, you know, and everything, they've taken some of his work because his work is just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely ahead of its time. He is a Jack Kirby in a sense. And, you know, he worked on Isaac Asimov's books and everything like that. So he was definitely the Renaissance man of his field.
Yep.
He definitely had an awesome background, and it's sad that he has passed. And everybody should take a minute and, you know, look at his work and appreciate it.
Yep. I agree. And our thoughts and prayers out to his family and friends and, you know, lost a great artist and it looks to be a great person as well. So.
Yes. So.
All right. Well, we hate to end on a sad note, but, hey, go look at his work and enjoy that, and that'll make you happy. Star Wars will make you happy.
Doesn't love Star Wars.
Yeah, really. All right. Well, that does it for the news. So next, we will go on to reviews.
The dialogue is so great.
You know, I don't know where in the timeline this is all taking place.
Fans of Deathstroke are going to love this.
What ends up happening is that other people start finding out about this.
It's a bunch of humans in these invisible suits.
These guys look pretty hardcore.
All right, for my review, I decided to do, guess what? A Marvel book.
Yay!
Yay, Marvel. You know, and I picked this book not only because it looked interesting, but to be quite honest, when I pulled up the digital list, it was the first one up there. And I thought, hey, a Marvel book for $2.99, I'm going to read it. And I'm glad I did, because actually this is a really good book, Age of Apocalypse, number one. This is spinning off from some events from, I guess, the Dark Angel saga and Uncanny X-Men, which I haven't read yet. Although I do like the Uncanny X-Men, X-Force. I'm just a little bit behind in that book. So I figured I would like it. Heck, you get Jean Grey in it, who's been missing from comics for quite a while. Now, this is sort of an alternate universe of the X-Men. So if you've read Age of Apocalypse, you'll probably know everything I'm talking about. If you haven't, basically, the basic premise of Age of Apocalypse happened in the 90s. Xavier's son decides to try to kill Magneto, and by mistake, he kills Xavier instead, and all heck breaks loose. And so you kind of have this upside-down X-Men world where a lot of the bad guys are good and a lot of the good guys are bad. But basically, Apocalypse takes over the world. Humans have become slaves, are getting ready to be exterminated, and you have a good guy, bunch of mutants that take up for the humans. And so this book kind of spins out of that concept and kind of spins out of some of the happenings in Uncanny X-Force. Your main players here are Jean Grey Sabretooth, a man by the name of Bolivar Trask, Prophet, a.k.a. William Stryker, Deadeye, who is a female, Zora Risman, a really cool guy by the name of Horror Show, who is great in Creed, and an interesting character by the name of Goodnight, who is Donald Pierce. And basically, you've got, these are all humans now, because Jean Grey and Sabretooth lose their powers. And this is basically humans trying to save their race. And it's notable that Jean Grey and Sabretooth were the last sort of pro-human mutants left. And now that they're essentially just regular humans, this looks like a daunting task for this group, known as the X-Terminators. Now, the big baddie in here you will recognize as Weapon X. In other words, sort of the, I guess, the alternate Wolverine, bad guy Wolverine. And he's convinced that he has to destroy the humans. And basically, this kind of just goes along with conflicts between Jean Grey and Sabretooth and the humans, because the humans don't fully trust them yet. But it's a really interesting book, but I have a feeling it would come across a little bit better had you spun out of the Uncanny X-Force book. And there is a point one book that I think I'm going to go back and get to try to clear up maybe some of my confusion here. But the art's really good. And it's by writer David Latham and artist Roberto De La Torre. So you can't go wrong on the art. Story's good, solid. I just need a little bit more background to sort of figure out what's going on here. But at the end of this issue, you get to see the group kind of all coming together, and they have a nice little fight scene here towards the end. And actually, Daredevil makes an appearance, and he's a bad guy. He's a human, but basically a human with special powers, and he's a baddie in this, and him and Prophet have a really cool fight sequence, and you get the feeling that these two guys are going to meet again. And it's notable that Prophet, while just a human, has powers very reminiscent to a mutant, so he's no slouch himself. And at the very end, spoiler here, we see Scott Summers with long hair, and we're not quite sure if he is good or bad, but that's kind of where it ends up. They stumble upon him, and pretty good read. Like I said, I don't have a whole lot of background with this, but it's definitely one that I would continue to pick up to see what's going on. I don't have to have read any of the other X-Men stuff going on. I can just stick with this title and go forth and enjoy.
You don't want to read the other 52 X-Men comic books out right now?
No.
Yeah.
Not in my budget.
And oh,
this
okay.
is also nice that this appears to be a $2.99 book. So.
Ooh, that's nice.
That sold me on it.
That's always good.
And I'm a big Jean Grey fan. I've missed her in comics, and it's cool to see her, even if it's an alternate universe. It's cool to see her there. And from what I was reading, I guess when they rebooted the X-Men title back in 2010, they sort of went back to this Age of Apocalypse story.
Yeah.
Which confused a lot of people, but was a pretty interesting and gutsy move. And then, you know, fast forward to events in Uncanny X-Force, and this sort of spins out of this. I hope they continue with this, because it does. It takes the X-Men world and sort of turns it upside down, and that's kind of cool to work through.
Yeah, it's sort of cool, some of the players in this first issue. You have, you know, Donald Pierce, who's part of the Hellfire Club, and it's just, you know, he doesn't get a lot of book recognition, but definitely a cool character. I've always liked the Hellfire Club, so it's nice to see him in a book once in a great while.
Yeah. A lot of characters I know nothing about, but that's my type of comic. I love reading about these, you know, sort of B and C listers. We've talked about Suicide Squad, talked about Secret Six. This is my kind of book, so I'm going to continue with this one, and maybe I'll review it on another show.
Yeah, are they is Apocalypse actually going to have any part of this one, or no?
I believe he's dead in this, and Wolverine, I guess he was destroyed at the end of the event, and so, you know, the Weapon X is the big baddie here, and he's actually married to Jean Grey, so there's that kind of conflict as well.
Oh, inner turmoil.
Oh, yes. So
high school drama.
Yeah. All right, so that's Age of Apocalypse number one. Check it out. And now, Steven's review on...
Zombies vs. Cheerleaders.
Yes.
Okay, I've been wanting to pick up this stuff for a while because it's just fun and I love my zombies. So now we have cheerleaders against zombies. You know, what more could you want in life? So this comes from Moonstone Books. I've never heard of them. They're definitely indie. It looks like they do a lot of things, a little background on books they do. Obviously, they do Zombies vs. Cheerleaders, and they also have a lot of other stuff like Kolchak, the Midnight Stalker, Buckaroo Banzai. You know, they even did a version of the Necronomicon with Kolchak. Let's see what else. I'll name a few others. Lone Ranger, Sherlock Holmes, Sheena the She-Devil, Captain Action. So it seems like they're on this pulp kick. Yep. Almost in a way, which is really cool. There's not too many publishers like that anymore.
Yeah, they've got some Green Hornet there too. So it kind of reminds me of a Dynamite to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I got Zombies vs. Cheerleader, which is it was cool. This is issue number 4. I got cover B. The cover's cool. It's like this cheerleader, you know, she's like doing a pose and she's kicking off this zombie's head in process. So, obviously, we're dealing with young people. I thought this book was just going to be a, you know, one-line story, but there's actually multiple stories in this book. So, you know, I put it on my pull list, so I'm going to get, you know, 2 or 3 more issues to see if, you know, it's awesome. But I really enjoyed 2 out of the 4 stories in this book. So, 50-50, I'll pick up the next issue and see what we have. So, I'll just go through the 2 stories I liked. The artwork was nice and clean. This story is called A New You, and it features 2 cheerleaders named Brittany and Erica, who are going to Brittany's house and going to hang out. Well, you know, it gets straight to the point. You know, they go downstairs to see her dad, Mr. Davison, and you see Brittany's mom on this gurney table with Mr. Davison looking above her. Well, Miss Davison is a zombie. How sad is that? So Mr. Davison has this Dr. Frankenstein ideal kicking his head. So you see him take this syringe and put it into Erica's throat, which obviously knocks her out and paralyzes her. So Brittany and her father lift her up on the bed, and Erica wakes up and, you know, like, what are you going to do to me? And he's like, don't worry, you'll be fine. Knocks her out again. Well, he cuts off her head and puts his wife's head on Erica's body. So really cool. You see Miss Davison get up and, you know, Mr. Davison's like, hey, honey, how you feeling? And yada, yada, yada. Well, Miss Davison, zombie head, normal body, still hungry for flesh, people. So Miss Davison just goes after him, and then you see Brittany what she uses for a weapon. It looks like a scalpel and just goes right into her mother's head, and you just see this blood and guts fly up. And you know, Brittany helps her dad up, and you know, her dad's like, "Well, I guess it's time to go back to the drawing board again." And then he goes, "Well, this is when times you remind me of your mother."
Oh, God.
And then that's the end. So, you know, three pages of some good stuff. It was fun. Let's see. The next story I liked. The second story was sort of blah. The artwork was really gritty, heavy metal-ish. So I really didn't care for it. Oh, wait. Or was it three stories? Oh, no, there was four stories. Actually, it was three out of four stories I liked. I did like the last story. So then there's like a post-apocalyptic type story where this group of people, they were like these SWAT outfits with like happy faces on them, and they go to capture people and hold like gladiator type arena battles. Well, they show one battle with like where they beat off like 5 to like 15-year-old kids in this arena battling zombies, and then they go into like this cheerleader one where they capture women and put them in cheerleader outfits, and they get in this arena style battle. And then you see this uprise, and they go to, you know, all the cheerleaders beat up the zombies and the people in the happy mask outfit. That story was pretty cool. That was a quick skim through. And then the last story was just pretty much this guy and this girl chilling out, and they're waiting for the zombie apocalypse to end. And then one guy's like, "Hey, we know we should repopulate the Earth. You know, what better two people than me and you?" And then the zombie comes in. Well, this zombie can talk. And they're like, he's like, "I don't want to go back out there in that world because there's a bunch of crazy freaking cheerleaders chopping our heads off." So, and, you know, they all become friends. And the girl's like, "Yeah, you know, I don't want to be friends with a zombie." So the girl walks away and she comes back out in a cheerleading outfit and slices off the zombie's head. So here's where the ironic part comes in. The guy, he's like, "You're a cheerleader, so you got all these awesome weapons. Let's leave." And the she goes, "Okay, I guess we can leave." And then the guy's like, "Ah, screw it." And he rips off his face and he's a zombie.
Ah.
And that was the end of the book. So
pretty cool twist.
Yeah, you know, they all have a little twist. So it was really cool. You know, it's something like Tales from the Dark Side type irony at the end. Something always crazy happens that you don't expect. So I give this book, I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
So it was good. Independent read. I told everybody I was going to cover an independent book. So there it is.
Yeah, look at that. We did a Marvel and an independent book.
Yeah, so
we're branching out.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's our reviews. We'll go on next to our special segment. All right, for the special segment of this episode number 8, we decided to do a little thing we like to call Steven Goes to a Con. And Steven went to a Comic-Con near his area and wanted to talk about it, and I'm interested to hear about it.
All right, so, you know, it's not one of the big, it's not, you know, Motor City Comic-Con, which is the big one in Michigan. That's where I'm located at, just a little outside the Detroit area. This is Great Lakes Comic Expo. You know, this one's held at a Veterans Club, and you know, it's nice and cheap. It's only $5 to get in. You know, if you go to the early bird, you get in for $3, and you know, children 10 and under are free. So
cool.
And you know, just a little some of the perks they have. Usually they always have a early bird drawing. This year it was let's see, I want to say it was Spider-Man 39. I don't know the exact number, but it's when Peter Parker finds out who the Green Goblin is. So, and it was free, you know, it was only the early bird, so you had to get there at 10 o'clock to get in the drawing.
Cool.
So, but even when you enter later, you still get drawn into 6 raffles held every hour. So, I'll start off with the raffles. You know, I was there for a little bit, you know, I put my ticket in, and I was in the process of getting a custom piece done by William Mesner Loebs, who has, you know, worked on The Flash. You know, he's one of the co-creators of the Max from Image. So it was really cool. You know, he lives in Michigan, out in Brighton. And, you know, I talked to him for quite a bit. And while he was doing my custom pieces, the first raffle came up. And, yeah, I was called. So it was the start of a perfect day.
Nice.
And so I got a Hawkman number zero from 1998, I want to say. And it was signed by William Esner Loebs and Steve Lieber. So
nice.
That was a really cool pickup I got. And it even came with a certificate of authenticity.
Wow.
So that was really cool to get. So, you know, let's see. My local store was there with a booth. But, you know, it's $35 for a booth. You know, you get a table, set up whatever you want. You know, a lot of people selling figures, all sorts of figures, Star Wars, Marvel, DC, horror figures. It was awesome. A lot of great comic deals. Let's see, like, you know, I went to my store's booth to help them out first before anybody else. And they were doing issues for 25 cents. And I got the recent Uncanny X-Men run from number 500 all the way to, I think, 515 for like $4. Jeez. And those books just came out like a year ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah,
something like that.
I could get into a lot of trouble with the 25-cent bin.
So, yeah, it was five for a dollar. Or, yeah. Nice. Yeah, so I really racked up on there, you know, 15 issues for, like, less than $4. Who's to complain? So I got that, and let's see. I was walking around to some other booths, and they had the Blackest Night figures. Well, I don't know if I've ever mentioned it. Well, I'm working on the Deputy Lanterns, you know, Wonder Woman, the Atom. When they all got rings during Blackest Night, well, I found the Flash for $10. And most people sell them for $15, so that was a really awesome run.
Yeah.
One of the more unique booths there, it was a guy who had a Transformers booth. And this booth was awesome. He had graded, you know, Transformers toys, plenty of them still in box. The one that I was eyeballing there, I did have my tax return money at the time. So that's that can get tricky to not crack into that. Well, he had a Soundwave in box graded for $250. And, yeah, my eyeball was on that pretty much the whole show, and I was tempted.
Yeah.
So, and then some of the funnier things was a lot of people – I was actually talking to Chance Peterson about this, and a lot of people had the Deadpool number 98 New Mutants first appearance. I saw one booth had it for $40, another booth had it for $150, and another booth had it for $95.
Oh, gosh.
So,
what's it really worth? I guess it's.
Yeah, you know, Chance. You know, Chance is the Deadpool guy around here, so he, you know, he says usually a go for. I think he said like $150, $200, not even graded. And I guess he's seen graded ones go for like $500.
Wow.
So I'm tempted to go get mine graded and put it on eBay and make me some quick money.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was it. So I had two custom pieces. You know, I believe in paying for a service. So I just went up to William Esner first and I go, "What can you give me for $20? And he goes, "Whatever you want." I was like, "Really?" So I had him do a Professor Zoom piece.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here.
So
for those of you that are near the internet, go to StashMyComics.com, go into the forums, and look under conventions and shows, and you'll see the Great Lakes Comics Expo. Steven has been kind enough to put these pictures in here.
So, you know, that was a cool piece. You know, he's getting older, so... You know, it's sad when our artists get older because then, you know, they start losing their talents, it seems. But it's okay. That's not in a negative way or anything. Even though some people will take it as a negative thing, but I call it reality in life. So,
yeah.
So that was really cool. I talked to him a lot. You know, I'm going to try to set up an interview with him, which he said he'd be more than happy to do with Stash My Comics.
Nice.
So I'm going to try to do that. You know, he has an interesting perspective into the comic book world and how 90s. So, and he was very kind enough to tell me a funny story that one of our other local comic book gurus would like, Jason Newcomb, about Wonder Woman working at a Taco Bell, and which was really funny. He told me that story. It was a joking story with some of the other creators he talked to while he worked at DC. Huh. And so that was really cool. And then one of the big Detroit artists, people back in the 80s, Keith Pollard, who is a Detroit native too, with a bunch of other guys like Arvell Jones and everything who worked at Marvel for a while. You know, he worked on, let's see, Fantastic Four. He has a nice list. And what I liked about him is he had that Jack Kirby style of art.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. So I went up to him. I go, "What will $20 get me?" "Do a headshot for you." And I go, "A headshot will work."
Hey, yeah.
And I had him do Dr. Doom because Dr. Doom is one of my other favorite villains. And as we all know here, I love my villains. So
yes. No, I'm jealous of your Dr. Doom. He's awesome looking.
The Dr. Doom came out really nice. And
he did.
I asked him if he could ink it, but he says I'm not the best of inker anymore because I guess he has a form of carpal tunnel now. So, and like if you really, I don't know how good the pictures turned out on the site, but if you look at his signature, it sort of gets scribbly in the end. No, mm-hmm. But that's okay. The piece is awesome. It's that nice old school 80s, 70s feel.
Yeah.
And that was nice to get.
You could always have somebody ink it for you. Go to another con and find an inker.
Yeah, exactly. And and what was really cool is I did not know this, but Keith Pollard did all the Marvel Universe official handbooks, but in the card forms. They did a card form where you could put them in a binder, and you know, it'd show a back shot, a front shot, and a side shot. Well, okay. He did all those, and you know, I have pretty much every card. I think I'm only missing like one set. It was out of like 14 sets of like 20 cards, and you know, he had all the original work there, but I didn't know how much he was selling them for because I was definitely going to see if they had like Impossible Man or somebody and pick that one up.
Right.
So he'll be at the next one though. I think the next one is on July 21st, if I'm not mistaken.
Cool.
So I will be there. It was a lot of fun though. I enjoyed it. I was there for about 3 hours, and you know, this is just a small VFW hall. So I went around about 20 times because every time you go around, you see something new.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun though.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to be going to one myself in the Virginia area, a little tiny one, probably like yours, and I'm hoping to score some of the same deals. That'll be in late March, March 31st.
Yeah, you know, it's always cool. You know, if they have artists there, you know, if you can, spare a few bucks, and like I did, hey, I have $20, which what can you give me art-wise?
Yeah. Very cool.
And it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to take a look at Keith Pollard. It says here that he's debuted with Master of Kung Fu, and I'm almost positive I've got 3 or 4 of those from the middle 70s. So
yeah, and that was –
I'll have to go back and see if that was –
that was cool because I have some of his Fantastic Four work. I got like 5 or 6 issues, and I was like, oh, my God, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was really cool to see, and, you know, it's always great to see these people draw.
Yep. Definitely. Yeah, so if any of you out there have little cons to go to, now you know there's plenty of stuff to do, even at the smaller ones. And so go there and support them so they can come back every year. And heck, you get, at the bare minimum, go there and pick up a bunch of cheap comics.
And another quick tip is before you go buy yourself a sketchbook.
Okay.
So, you know, so then they can draw on the sketchbook. And then, you know, within, you know, 5 or 6 years, going to all these cons, you'll have a nice little sketchbook. There was one guy there. He had all sorts of artists. And, you know, it was just a little small one, like probably like 5x6. Nothing big. And he had all sorts of people in it. So it was really cool.
Yeah. It's a nice little conversation piece.
Yes, it is.
All righty. Well, that was the special segment where Steven went to the con. We're going to wrap up this show. This is episode 8. For those of you who have been listening for a while, you'll notice that this show is a little bit shorter than the other ones. We're going to be coming out with a weekly format, so we will record 2 shows at the same time and space them out so every week you'll have something to listen to. We hope that benefits you, and we thank you again for listening. Be sure to go to the StashMyComics.com website. Let's go ahead and shout out the Facebook, facebook.com/stashmycomics, as well as the twitter.com/stashmycomics. And we have Twitters too, don't we?
Yeah, mine's is Steven Sparks at Steven Sparks SMC.
Okay. Mine is Matt B. Podcaster. So, you know, go on there if you have an account already. Follow all of us on the Twitter. We are pretty active there, and there's a lot of fun stuff going on there. In fact, just recently here, last week, the Chase Variant, our other show, did a Twitter party, and that turned out pretty well, where everybody was tweeting while they were doing the show. And, hey, I wanted to shout out one more thing. I wanted to shout out Tim Morse, who does a really cool segment on the StashMyComics.com site called Fan Film Friday. So be sure and check that out. It's basically some fan films that he digs out from YouTube and places like that of comic book-related material. A lot of them are very humorous. You should definitely go check that out. Hey, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next time on StashMyComics.com podcast.